Shalom, 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 family. This is your boy Ezekiel Ben Israel coming back at you from Nation Not Desired. Did you know that the elites have put together a diabolical plan to depopulate the earth and that no one on this planet is excluded from this movement? It's true. One of its key players is, that's right, your very own computer guru, Bill Gates. The plan itself is called Agenda 21. Now you may be asking yourself, what can I do about this? This man is very wealthy and powerful. That's true. He is. But do you also know that you have powers as well? Powers untapped until now. The powers that I'm speaking of are wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Proverbs 1 and 5 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. This is where Nation Not Desired comes into play. We want to keep you on the path of life through our teachings. We help you, you help us with your finances, your prayers, and your encouragement. You can become a patron at Patreon by typing in Ezekiel Ben Israel and submit your questions to nationnotdesired@gmail.com. Listen, family, I've taken up enough of your time. Let's get to the message.
Shalom, 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 Israel. How's everyone doing today? How's everyone feeling today?
Blessed in my spirit. Good. Blessed in my spirit.
Very good.
All praise to the Most High.
Most High is good.
Before we begin, we're going to get a shout out. We're going to get some shout outs for our viewers. Can you do that for me, Dad?
All right. To all of our listeners out there across the radio waves and the internet, we just want to give some shout outs to y'all. Looks like Snow Homus, Washington. Brookings, South Dakota, San Bernardino, California, Harlingen, Texas, The Villager in Florida, Sarasota, Florida, Longwood, Florida, Orlando, Florida. We've been there, as a matter of fact. We spent the family vacation there. We really enjoyed Orlando. Melbourne, Florida, Longwood, Pennsylvania, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas City, Missouri, Branson, Missouri, Waterloo, Iowa, all right, Chicago, Illinois, our next door neighbor, and we can't forget about Millie Willie, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, my hometown, Columbus, Ohio, South Vienna, Ohio, Muskegon, Michigan, Hammond, Indiana, London, Ontario, wow. Brampton, Ontario, Cleveland, Ohio, Charlotte, North Carolina, Garner, North Carolina, New Bern, North Carolina. These are some places I never heard of, but hey, y'all hearing of us now, huh? Warrenton, Michigan, Mount Airy, North Carolina, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, city of brotherly love, so they say, Johannesburg, South Africa. We just want to give y'all a shout out and hope that you're getting blessed by the many things that we're bringing across the airways from Nation Not Desired. Feel free to email us at nationnotdesired@gmail.com. And for all those that will want to donate in the email, I will let you know where you can send your donations to. All right, so shalom, and hopefully you'll enjoy this message as well.
Okay, so the message today is titled, Harden Not Your Heart. Harden Not Your Heart. Dad, can you get Psalms 95, 8 through 11 prepared? Psalms 95, 8 through 11. There are many times in our lives that we have had instructions given to us. For example, by a person, like a parent or boss, or a handbook, like a recipe or instruction manual. But did we listen to the instructions and follow them? And why is it important that we do if the source of our information is right? It's righteous and it's accurate. Just like if we don't understand why it's important to listen to our parents, if we don't understand why it's important that we trust the Lord and not harden our hearts to His message to us through things or people who He uses to help us, we will by the end of this message.
Come.
But one question. What does it mean to harden our hearts? To harden our hearts basically means to make our mind refuse to accept or listen. Now, there's many ways that we can cause our mind to refuse to accept or listen. There's many ways that the devil can get into our minds and make us think that we don't need to listen to the Lord. There's many ways that he could do that. And we're going to get more on that later on. The Lord has a warning to us for hardening our hearts. Can you read Psalm 95, 8 through 11 for me, Dad?
Psalm 95, 8 through 11. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, and in the day, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
So the Lord is telling us through his servant David there in Psalms, not to harden our hearts to his word and to his truth, like our ancestors did in the wilderness. Can you read this? Read that again for me? Psalm 95, 8 through 11.
Harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath they should not enter into my rest.
Con, so our ancestors tested the Lord. The Lord's saying, even though we tested his word and saw it as true, we still didn't believe. And can you read that last part again for me? Verse 11.
Verse 11, Psalm 95. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
And that event is recorded in Numbers 13 through 14, in case you want to go read the story, Israel. Our ancestors didn't believe that the Most High could bring us into the land of Canaan, our promised land, because there were giants in the land. In spite of the fact that the Lord had preserved us in Egypt, like the Lord is doing now in our captivity, in the new Babylon, he caused the great plague to come upon Egypt. He caused the Red Sea to be split so we could walk across and recede so it killed many in Pharaoh's army. And we still don't believe Israel? Zeph, can you get Job 9 and 4 prepared? So this is the Lord's warning to us to not harden our hearts against him. We have an example of what happened to our ancestors in the past when they hardened their hearts to the Lord's commands. The scary thing is, we don't know what the Most High will punishment will be for us when we harden our hearts to his commands. The way the Lord punished our ancestors was that they couldn't enter the promised land for 40 years because they didn't believe that the Lord would help them drive out the giants. Despite everything that the Lord had done for our ancestors, they still didn't believe. Even though the Lord caused 10 plagues to come upon Egypt, which is recorded in Exodus 7 through 12, the Lord parted the Red Sea, which is recorded in Exodus 14. He gave our ancestors manna from heaven. That's truly a miracle. I mean, we should truly believe after that. Manna from heaven? That's like food from the sky. I mean, that's a miracle. But they still didn't believe. They still hardened their hearts to his will for them, to go to the land of Canaan and to rid the land of all the people that were all everyone that was there, the Canaanites.
I just want to make a comment right quick. You know, like I said before, you know, it's pretty much like today. You have people who have been, who are ancestors or children of the slave trade. Their parents were enslaved. Their parents, they were victims of the Willie Lynch syndrome and the Stockholm syndrome. And, you know, they're homeborn slaves. Like the Bible says, they're a homeborn slave. And the devil, through his system here in Babylon the Great, has done literally everything for us when it was really supposed to be the Most High doing everything for us. But see, it all falls under doctrine, right? It all falls under doctrine. And I think that souls think that there's no better way, because this is all that they're familiar with. But see, that's where the challenge of faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically, you're going to have to step out on faith, because truly, there is a much better way of living in the scriptures under the commands of Christ. Con. And I yield.
Con.
So the Lord gave our ancestors manna from heaven, which is recorded in Exodus 16, and he did much more for them. Yet they still didn't believe that the Lord could drive out the Canaanites from our promised land. So the Lord is warning us to not harden our hearts like our ancestors did, and refuse to believe that the Lord can use us to do the impossible.
God.
Can you prepare Proverbs 28 and 14 for me, Dad? And can you read Job 9 and 4, Zeph?
Job 9 and 4. He is wise in heart, and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him, and hath prospered.
So Job said, who hath refused to accept the Lord's word, or hardened themselves against the Lord, and prospered? We can't prosper in righteousness without the Lord, because he is righteous prosperity. There's wicked prosperity, but wicked prosperity is temporary, and it'll all burn. In the end, everything will pass away except for the Lord's word. If we want to have permanent prosperity, and righteous wisdom, then we have to have the righteousness of the Lord. Thus Job said, who have refused to accept the Lord's word or harden themselves against the Lord and prosper? If we want to prosper, we have to believe what the word says, and we can't harden ourselves to his message. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So the Bible says, blessed is the man that does those things, meaning that man will be prosperous in righteousness and the Lord's wisdom. And so will we if we're like that man. So if we want to be blessed, we can't harden our hearts to the Lord's laws, statutes, and commandments. But what is some reasons, or an important reason, why we shouldn't harden our hearts? So what is some reasons why we shouldn't harden our hearts? Let's take a look at the results of hardening our hearts. Can you prepare Exodus 7, 1 through 6, Zeph? And read Proverbs 28 and 14, Dad. Proverbs 28 and 14. We're going to get some more on the results of hardening our hearts.
Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
So the Bible says, happy is the man or woman that fears the Lord always. Why are we happy when we fear the Lord? Because of faith. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, not worldly knowledge. By our faith in the Lord's word, we know he will bless our lives in every way. Because the Lord's word gives us the fruits of the Spirit. It gives us peace with our enemies. And when a man's ways, as the scripture says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with them. It gives us guidance, as it says in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. These are a few reasons why we're happy when we fear the Lord.
God.
Read Proverbs 28 and 14 again.
Proverbs 28 and 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
And the law, statutes, and commandments say he that hardeneth his heart will fall into mischief, which means if we continue to reject the Lord's truth, we will continue to sin day in and day out. We won't be fighting it because when we harden our hearts, we reject the Lord's word. And when we don't have the Lord's word, we don't have that strength to fight the devil and his demons, which, you know, trying to tell us lies in our head, trying to get us to sin. Let's get some examples of hardened hearts. Dad, can you prepare 1 Esdras 1, 39 through 58? Pharaoh is a very good example of a hardened heart. Can you read Exodus 7, 1 through 6, Zeph?
1 Esdras 1.
Yep, 1:39 through 58.
Exodus 7, 1 through 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they.
So we can see the Lord made Moses a god to Pharaoh. Despite the fact that Moses was just a shepherd, the Lord made him a god to Pharaoh for his purpose, because Moses didn't harden his heart to the Lord's will for his life. The Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh with his brother Aaron and speak what he told Moses to speak. He did it, and the Lord blessed him. And we see, despite Moses being a god in Pharaoh's sight, he still hardened his heart to the Lord's command to let our people go. Just like the so-called white people today ruling America do. They don't want to let our people go. They want to keep us enslaved. And we see what happened to Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. The great plagues came in Egypt, and then the Lord destroyed a large amount of his army. But like I said earlier, we don't know what the Lord will do to us if we harden our hearts to his will for our lives. Especially us, because we're his children, Israel. So it's important that we don't harden our hearts to his will for our lives. And so that's an example of what happens when we don't listen to the Lord and go our own way. As we can see, things didn't end well for Pharaoh at all. The Lord gave him opportunity after opportunity, but the Lord was using him as an example of somebody who hardens his heart. The Lord wanted to show us that when we refuse to accept his word and his will for our life, even, we're going to get more on that, but even when we think we know what's best for us, it ends in disaster.
That's right.
Another example of a person who hardened his heart to the Lord's will for his life is Zedekiah. Can you prepare 1 Samuel 13 and 14, Zeph? We're coming out of the Apocrypha on this one. Can you read 1 Esdras 1:39 through 58, Dad?
1 Esdras 1:39 through 58. 25 years old was Joacim when he was made king in the land of Judea and Jerusalem. And he did evil before the Lord. Wherefore against him Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up and bound him with a chain of brass and carried him into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also took of the holy vessels of the Lord and carried them away and set them in his own temple at Babylon. But those things that are recorded of him and of his uncleanness and impiety are written in the Chronicles of the Kings.
And we have a Chronicles of the Kings episode available. You should definitely go check that out, Israel. All right, continue.
And Joacim, his son, reigned in his stead. He was made king, being 18 years old, and reigned but 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and did evil before the Lord. So after a year, Nebuchadnezzar sent and caused him to be brought unto Babylon with the holy vessels of the Lord, and made Zedekiah king of Judea and Jerusalem.
That's Zedekiah.
When he was 1 and 20 years old, and he reigned 11 years. And he did evil also in the sight of the Lord, and cared not for the words that were spoken unto him by the prophet Jeremy from the mouth of the Lord.
And that's Jeremiah.
And after that, King Nebuchadnezzar had made him to swear by the name of the Lord, he forswore himself and rebelled, and hardening his neck, his heart, he transgressed the laws of the Lord God of Israel. The governors also of the people and of the priests did many things against the laws, and passed all the pollutions of all nations, and defiled the temple of the Lord, which was sanctified in Jerusalem. Nevertheless, the God of their fathers sent by his messenger to call them back, because he spared them and his tabernacle also. But they had his messengers in derision, and look, when the Lord spake unto them, they made a sport of his prophets. So far forth that he, being wroth with his people, for their great ungodliness, commanded the kings of the Chaldees to come up against them, who slew their young men with the sword, yea, even with the compass of their holy temple. Spare neither young man nor maid, old man nor child among them, for he delivered all into their hands. And they took all the holy vessels of the Lord, both great and small, with the vessels of the ark of God and the king's treasures, and carried them away into Babylon. As for the house of the Lord, they burnt it, and brake down the walls of Jerusalem, and set fire upon her towers. And as for her glorious things, they never ceased till they had consumed and brought them all to nothing. And the people that were not slain with the sword, he carried into Babylon, who became servants to him and his children till the Persians reigned, to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremy, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. The whole time of her desolation shall she rest, until the full term of 70 years.
Khan. So we can see he had a hardened heart there, because the scripture says he cared not for the words that were spoken unto him by the prophet Jeremiah, and from the mouth of the Lord. And that's because in his pride, he thought that his way was better than the Lord's. He thought that it was best for Jerusalem to be away from Babylon, but the Lord didn't desire that at that time. We know that the Lord is coming, and he's going to bring a new kingdom down here on earth that's righteous.
That's right.
Unlike this wicked kingdom. But now is not the time for us to be trying to obtain a kingdom right now. Now is not the time. The Lord wants us to focus on what he wants us to do for right now and be a servant. And in the future, we will reign. But we have to be patient. And what he did there was harden his heart to the Lord's will for him, because he thought he knew what was right. He thought it was good for him to fight the enemies of his kingdom. But that's not what the Lord wanted. That was his pride speaking. He was saying, in experience of the past, I know that a kingdom should never be conquered by another kingdom, and you shouldn't get rid of that person that's trying to conquer us. See, he thought that, and that's worldly. That's worldly thinking. What the Lord wanted was for him to serve Babylon because of what we had done in the past.
Because
it was a punishment.
Yeah, because the Lord is the one that ultimately put them in that position.
Yeah.
The Lord is the one. He reigns over all. That's why the Bible says he's the father of the spirits. He controls both the left and the right. Why do you think they got Democrat, Republican? He controls both of them. They both on the same side. If you look at it from the standpoint of the Lord is running the show, they both working in concert to make the will of the Lord come to pass. Come on.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And another thing that chapter, those verses, brought to my mind was, you have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. He wanted to get rid of our enemies, but he didn't do it in the Lord's will. Not according to the Lord's knowledge, the way the Lord wanted him to do things. He did it in his own, what he wanted, in his own pride, and what he thought was best, but not what the Lord thought was best.
Khan.
And at verse 58, we can see our ancestors during Zedekiah's reign disregarded the Lord's word and made fun of his messengers. And as we can see, when Zedekiah hardened his heart to the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Lord, it didn't end well for him and our people. And also, we see there that when Zedekiah, when he hardened his heart to the Lord's will for him and for our people, the people did the same thing. This is why it's important that leaders, they stand up and they lead in the Lord's will for them, because if they don't, everyone else will follow right alongside with that. The people, he made fun of Jeremiah. He didn't listen to him. So did the people then. So that's something else we can get from that.
That's right.
And also, as I said, it didn't end well for him and our people, even though in his pride, he decided to try to attack Babylon without the Lord's help. He went against the Lord's will. It didn't end well for him. So that's an example. That's a good example of hardening our hearts to the Lord's will for our lives, because he wanted to do something that was, you know, it was worldly good. It was good in a worldly sense, but it wasn't good in a righteous sense. We see it didn't end well for him. Also, at the end there, I want to point out, we see the Lord mentions giving the land a Sabbath. Because we're supposed to give our cultivated land a Sabbath year rest after 7 years of harvesting. He didn't do that either, and, you know, the Lord had to do what he had to do to us.
Yes.
So that this land could rest and recover its nutrients so that it could produce fresh crops. I was going to get some on the holy vessels there, but I'm going to leave you, Israel, to do some research on that yourself. Because it says that Nebuchadnezzar, he came and he took those vessels out of our temple. I'm not going to do it. I did a little bit of research on it, but I'm not going to do too much. There's some, so it's pretty good, though. I'm not going to say anything else on that. But I do recommend you look that up because that's very important. Now let's see some examples of people that followed the Lord. Of course, there's Christ. Christ followed the Lord perfectly. He's a perfect example for us. But I wanted to get some more examples than that. Can you prepare Jeremiah 29:11, Dad? And Zeph, can you read 1 Samuel 13 and 14? We're going to get David. David is a very good example of a person that followed the Lord.
1 Samuel 13 and 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
Con. And that was the prophet Samuel speaking to King Saul about his disobedience to the Lord's commands. And the point in that scripture there is that David is said to be a man after God's own heart. That means he put the Lord first and exalted the Lord in almost everything he did. And the Lord blessed him with wives, children, a great army, a great city, and more.
Con.
However, David did sin by taking Uriah's wife Bathsheba and having sexual intercourse with her and then killing Uriah. And as a result of those sins, the Lord cursed David in 2 Samuel 12 and 10. He said, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." David did accept his sin and repent, however, which shows that David knew that the Lord is what his life was supposed to be all about, not himself. Unlike Zedekiah, we see the comparison there. Zedekiah, he was concerned about what he wanted, and not what the Lord wanted for him. And David, on the other hand, was more concerned about what the Lord wanted than what he wanted. And so the Lord blessed him.
Con?
So David is a very good example of listening and following the Lord. Now, let's get another one. Gideon. Despite having only 300 soldiers, and all of them only having ram's horns and empty pitchers with torches inside them, Gideon still chose to have faith that the Lord would use him to defeat the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the children of the east. Even though Gideon had great faith in the Lord in the end, he did have great doubt in the beginning. He asked the Lord for a sign that he was with him 3 times, and the Lord had to give him a 4th sign before he fully believed. But in spite of how little soldiers he had, and how many people didn't believe that the Lord could use him to defeat that large army, Gideon still chose to believe and follow the Lord. Also, he was greatly blessed when he listened to the Lord. The Lord blessed him with many things. And he had many children, too, and many wives. So he's a very good example of faith. And what happens when we follow the Lord's will for our lives and we don't harden our hearts to the Lord's will for our lives. So why is it important that we listen and follow the Lord, even when we think we have the answer? Even when we think we know what's right for us, why is it important that we listen and follow the Lord anyway? Here are some of the reasons why. Number one, the Lord knows what's best for us. All right, can you prepare Romans 8 and 28, Zeph? And can you read Jeremiah 29:11, Dad?
Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end.
Con. And can you prepare Romans 5, 6 through 8, Dad? And can you read Romans 8 and 28, Zeph?
Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, according to them who are the called according to his purpose.
So we see that the Lord has a perfect plan for each of us that we can follow and be blessed by if we follow it. So, the Lord knows what's best for us, Israel, as we can see in the scriptures. This is one very important reason why we shouldn't harden our hearts to the Lord's will for our life, because He knows us better than we know ourselves. We may think that we know ourselves better, but the scripture says that the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. So we should trust the Lord and follow His will for our lives. Now, let's move on. Another reason. Christ loves us, Israel. He died for us while we were still in our sin. Prepare John 3:16, Zeph, and read Romans 5:6-8, Dad.
Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Which shows the kind of love that he has for us, Israel. The Lord died for us while we were still in our sins. Not only did the Lord know what's best for us, and he spends time trying to guide us in his word, trying to get us away from sin. The Lord also died for us while we were in our sins, so that our sins could be forgiven. That's how much the Lord loves us, Israel. This is another very important reason why we should want to listen to the Lord and not harden our hearts to His will for our lives.
And like I said, you know, in times past, you got all these fake, phony people running around talking about they don't have nobody to love them, right? They don't have love.
Come.
Right? That's what their problem. That's what their whole problem is, right? They don't feel loved, right? Well, the thing I would tell them is this. Go into the dictionary, Negro, and read what the definition says love is. Read that. Do that first. Then go and read what the Bible says love is. Remember, I said that there's always the spiritual. You have to put the spiritual with the natural. The world's going to give you the natural definition of love. The Lord is the only one that can give you the spiritual definition of love.
Kind.
It's going to say affection, someone listening to you. For the worldly definition, it's going to say. As a matter of fact, do you mind if I go there right quick?
No.
Do you mind if I go there? I want to go there right quick. Because, I mean, this is important, right? Because you're gonna see something about these people that's saying these types of things, right? And the Lord is saying, I came down here so that you would be loved, right? I came there. That's what I came for. That's the whole purpose I came for, because I knew that you wouldn't love. So let me show you something. Love. This is from the Merriam-Webster's. A feeling of strong or constant affection for, which means it ain't a break so long that you can't you can feel unloved. Listen to this, right? Attraction that includes sexual desire. Now how does the Lord give you these two things? Let's keep going. The strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. A person you love in a romantic way. How does the Lord give you all of that? How do you obtain that? Can you obtain this from the world? I want somebody to show me. Can you obtain this, right? This definition right here. It's in there, so it's got to exist. Can you obtain that from just the world?
No.
Can you obtain it from the world?
No.
Will you please stand up? If you got the answer, please stand up and explain to me how you gonna obtain this in this world. How you gonna obtain it without the Lord? How you gonna obtain this without the commandments? It's crickets. It's crickets. It's crickets. Then obey the Lord. Because you don't have no answers outside of him on how to get what everybody got a void for. It ain't one person that don't have a void for this right here. But they always got an excuse when it come to doing what thus saith the Lord. Honor the parents. Wives, love your husbands. Honor them. Obey them. Don't do your friend wrong. Keep them close. Never betray them. But we want that right there, though. We want that word, though. We want that word right there. But we got to remember, if we want it so bad, we got to do what it takes to keep it. We got to do what it takes to obtain it and then keep it.
Kai.
And this goes for parents, husbands, wives, children, the whole shot. Friends, I mean real friends, not associates. Real friends. See, because in order to get this right here, what everybody claim they lacking, nobody love me. It ain't no love in this world. That's why it ain't no love, because you trying to love based off of what the world can teach you about it alone. You omitted the Lord out of it. You omitted all of his laws, statutes, and commands out of it. You said, I can do this all by myself. I can get this definition all by myself. Trying to be slick. Trying to avoid hating on one another. Doing conniving, sneaky crap. And you're gonna get this word right here. You're gonna get all this definition right here. Doing that. Okay, good luck to you. I yield.
So why is it important that we listen and follow the Lord, even when we think we have the answer? Another reason why we should is because Christ loves us. He died for us while we were still in our sins. Can you prepare 1 John 1:9, Dad? And read... Prepare John 3 and 16, Zeph. Okay, give me that. Read John 3 and 16.
John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Con, this scripture refers to the world of the Israelites. So we see Israel, the Lord loves us. Even when we turn our backs on him and sin, he still cares about us. So, I mean, if we all want love, like Dad said, we all want love, and the Lord's willing to give that to us. If we're willing to accept his word, his righteous, perfect word, might add. I mean, you have to accept terms, for example, when you get married with a wife. If you're a man, or a husband, if you're a woman, but those aren't perfect, because we aren't perfect. I mean, if they're in the Word, they're perfect. But we all have personal preferences that may not, you know, connect with each of us individually the right way. But the Lord, his law is absolutely perfect. Everything is done perfectly for all of us in Israel, all of us. So if we love him and we love his law because it's perfect, then the Lord's willing to give us that loving care that we want so much.
That's why he says, come now, O foolish nation of people. Let us reason together. I added foolish nation of people in there because that's said in other contexts. But we're foolish. That's why the Lord is saying, come now. Right? So you're being a fool by not following the Lord. So you are foolish people. That's why he has to say, come now. Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins, see, they ain't sin. They're a fool. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. So apparently this is a person who they think they know it all. They pulled a move on you. I'm wiser than you. They think they know it all, right? And here they is thinking they know it all, right? And they don't know that brick wall is being built. I'm telling you. See, this is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing what the Lord got going on here. Because you know what? The Lord said when wisdom goes out, It knows its people. When wisdom flowing through the street, it knows those that is his. Because the ones that are belong to wisdom are going to be wise. They're going to be wise. They're going to do the wise thing. That's where wisdom belongs. That's home sweet home to wisdom. But if you a nigger and you think you know it all, you always trying to look for a slick way to try to cast down the truth when it's being brought forth, the mason is doing his work. I love it, man, because you know I'm just being real. You know, I'm gonna tell the truth. I don't give a damn what nobody think. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't care nothing about no damn feelings or nothing when it comes to from righteousness and wickedness. I don't give a damn about nobody's feelings. Come on.
Another reason why we should listen to the Lord, another important reason, is because he's the only one that can forgive our sins. Can you prepare Isaiah 43 and 25, Zeph? And can you read 1 John 1, 9, Dad?
1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, got me in a preaching mode now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Kai, and can you read Isaiah 43 and 25, Zeph?
Isaiah 43 and 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins.
So we can't get forgiveness of our sins from anyone here on earth. Just want to make that clear.
God.
And without forgiveness, God, we will die in our sins and be put in the lake of fire and brimstone.
Not even the Pope, right?
Exactly. That's why I said that. So if we don't want that, if we don't want that, we can't harden our hearts to the Lord's word, his laws, statutes, and commandments for our lives. So now the question is, we've seen examples of people who have hardened their hearts. We know what hardening our heart is, and we've seen examples of people who didn't harden their hearts and how it turned out for them, David, Gideon, and for people who hardened their hearts, we have Zedekiah and Pharaoh. I didn't do a lot of deep study on that because that's not what I'm not here to do. I'm not going to teach that, but you know, go and read up on their stories, get deeper in there, Israel. I'm sure you'll find something that's very interesting to you and something that'll connect with you. So how do we soften our hearts? How do we soften our hearts? We have to humble ourselves. Sometimes we may have to fast to break away our pride. Because we think that the Lord's way is just, it's sometimes we can think that the Lord's way is an alternate course of action. When it isn't, it should be our main course of action in this world. We should always focus our hearts and minds on the Lord. What he wants for us. So can you get Proverbs 4:21 through 22? Zeph, no, Dad, can you get Proverbs 4:21 through 22?
God,
this is going to be the concluding scripture. So can you read Proverbs 4:21 through 22?
Proverbs 4:21 through 22. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
So the scripture says it right there. We have to keep the Lord's word as our main focus, serving the Lord. That's what it has to be all about. Not what we want and not what we think is best for us, but what the Lord thinks is best for us.
God.
And there's some more on that in Gideon. I just want to say that because Gideon, I'm just going to say just a little bit. Gideon said at the end, after he defeated the Midianites and Amalekites and children of the East, that the people wanted him to like lead them. He said, I'm not going to lead you. The Lord is going to be the one to lead you all, not me. The Lord just used me. And it has to be the same way with us. We have to let the Lord use us and focus on the Lord's will for our lives.
Paul even said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the reason why even your dad told you, I said, your dad loves you, but Christ loves you more. Now you understand why I said that. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't take anything away from the love that we have, but it also it magnifies the Lord's love way far beyond mine, which we know that he died on the cross, so he already got me beat.
God.
He already got me beat because he gave his life. Did I give my life yet?
No.
You know what I'm saying? So who willing to outdo him? Say I. Get up here so you can give your life right quick. I'm just saying, you know, so why even struggle with it? Just hallelujah. Come on.
So so the things that I got from this and this message is one thing I got from this message is Gideon's challenges and faith. When Gideon was going through his challenges and he was being tested by the Lord, he was tested tremendously. He was tested in many different ways. And he originally doubted that the Lord could do what he said he could do. Originally, he had like his family against him, and most of the people in Israel, they doubted the Lord. And that's why the Lord sent the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East against us in the past. But despite all those challenges, Gideon still held fast to the Lord's word. He still chose to believe that the Lord was going to use him to deliver our people from the Midianites and Amalekites and children of the East. And also, another thing I got from this is a reminder of how important the Lord is to us. The Lord, one of the things that we think, you know, is important to us in our lives is our plans, what we want for ourselves. But we have to understand that the Lord always, always has a perfect plan for our life. This is why it's important that we keep our focus on Him. Most of the time we think that the Lord is just there as a way of guiding us when we get lost. But really, the Lord's always there to guide us on a perfect path so we never have to get lost.
And sometimes
when we're constantly walking the right path or the path we think is the right path, and the scripture says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So we think there's a right path, but that's why we have the Lord there, so we don't have to think. That's why he's there.
That's right. Another thing is this, right? People, they question, or should I not? I won't say people, I'll say Israel, okay? People in Israel question whether or not, right, they should be around the right or wrong people. It shouldn't be a problem for me to hang around with this worldly person, right? Well, it is a problem, right? Why is it a problem? Because that worldly person is going to take you farther away from you accomplishing your dream, your goals in Christ. So when you say to yourself, there's nothing wrong with me, what you're doing is you're hurting your mission. It's like you climbing a slippery slope. You're trying to get up to the top, but you put grease on it. You put grease on it. You the one put grease on it, and now you killing yourself, and you ain't even left the bottom. You just keep on. You just doing this. You wearing yourself out. So it's like I said, it's like a fool. You know, if you don't listen to wise counsel, if you don't listen to wise counsel coming from this book, right? We didn't say it. We didn't say it. The Lord said it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them.
Come.
Health to all their flesh.
Come.
Now that flesh is climbing that mountain. That slippery mountain. Your flesh is climbing that mountain. Is the Lord trying to save you in strength by saying use wisdom, go up beside that don't have slippery slopes? Is he trying? Yes, he is. See, but you saying to yourself, I get it. Don't worry. Nah, leave me alone. I got this. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow morning. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But what is it that that person is not exercising? Wisdom. The people telling them, come over here, you'll get better traction. Come over here. We already halfway up the mountain. Come over here. No, y'all go ahead. I got this. Okay. All right. We'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll see how good you do. And they're being kind. You know what I'm saying? They're saying, okay, we'll leave you there. Okay, no problem. We'll be back tomorrow and see how far you've gotten. See, that's just it's a foolish person. Instead of just listening, you know, and right, we all got basic knowledge, right? We all have basic understanding, Israel. We all have gotten so far in life, and I know it wasn't from being stupid, right? We use some brains, we use some wits at some point in our life, right? Why don't we do that with the Lord's word? Why don't we do that when the word is coming out? No matter who it comes from. Like I said, I've listened to many of brethren bringing out the scriptures, the precepts. And I didn't look at them saying that ugly Negro, I ain't listening to that stanky breath. I was listening to the word. I wasn't looking at him, looking at whether or not he was a decent looking man or handsome or had muscles. He more handsome than me. You know what I'm saying? Getting a jealous spirit. It wasn't nothing about none of that. It was about the truth. Is he preaching the truth or is he preaching false doctrine?
Kind.
That's what it was all about. It wasn't about nothing else. What if my girl looked at him and thought he was more attractive than me? That's an insecurity problem you got. That's an insecurity problem you got. And you puzzled about what you need to go to the Lord about? That's starters right there. I'm an insecure Negro. I'm just saying, you know, we tell on ourselves with situations. When we don't want to listen to guidance from the scriptures, no matter who's bringing it out, what is that saying about us? Why would you not want to get this right here? Why would you not want to get life? You know what I'm saying? That means you want death. It don't matter if it's where it comes from, that means you want death. And Negro, you gonna get it. You gonna get it. Oh, you gonna get it. Anyway, go ahead. I yield.
Kind. And another thing that I learned from this is that the Lord has bigger plans for us than we have for ourselves, and might have us go through a trial to learn something or to test us, like with Joseph. Joseph probably thought when he was living with his father and his brothers, he probably planned his life out. He knew what he was going to do. Maybe he was going to just be a shepherd his whole life. But the Lord had greater plans for Joseph than just being a shepherd. It's something that would benefit not only him, but his whole family. And that's what I'm talking about. The Lord has greater plans than we have for ourselves. We think that we have the best for us. We think that we know what's best for us, but we really don't. The Lord is the one who knows what's best for us. So it's best that we trust the Lord and what he wants for our lives. If we don't, then what we're doing is just, we're being selfish. And that's one other thing I want to point out too in this message, is selfishness. Like Zedekiah, he probably wanted his kingdom to be rid of Babylon, because maybe he wanted to say, I got rid of Babylon myself without the Lord's help. That's what he wanted to say. But he couldn't, because the Lord wouldn't allow him to. But his selfishness is another thing that could have brought him down. That's another thing that can cause us to harden our hearts to the Lord's will for our lives. Selfishness. What we want over what the Lord wants. It could be something small and harmless, like, I don't know, maybe $200 shoe. There's only one shoe. Maybe we want that. But the Lord knows, you know, you shouldn't get that, even if you do want it, because it could be an obstacle to you. And he believes or knows it will be an obstacle to us. That's why he doesn't want us to have it. Or maybe the Lord knows that we could consider that of more precious value than his word. Like if we had, this is why it's important not to store up our treasures here on earth, where moth and rust can destroy and thieves can come break through and steal. Because if we put up a lot of treasures down here on earth, we'll start to care more about those than we do about the scriptures. There are just very precious jewels in the Word of God. That's why it's important that we listen to the Word of God and not harden our hearts to it. Because if we don't, if we continue to store up treasures here on earth, we're gonna We're going to prize those over the Lord's word. So we really do. We really have to focus on what the Lord wants for us and not what we want. And I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with getting good shoes, getting a nice house, getting good clothes, and getting good fringes, ordering good fringes from our brothers and sisters in Israel. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't make that more precious to you than the Lord's word. Don't
let that be your treasure.
Exactly.
Don't store your treasure up there.
Don't focus on those things. Focus on what the Lord wants. Maybe you could want a fringe shirt, you know, a couple of days from now, but maybe the Lord doesn't want you to spend your money. Maybe he wants you to save it. You don't know why, but don't harden your heart to what the Lord wants you to do. Just like with Joseph. Joseph was living with his father and mother and brothers, and he thought that what his life was going to be was going to be great. It's going to be able to serve the Lord to the best of his ability, and the Lord would be pleased with that. But like I said, the Lord wanted more for him than just for him to live his life as a common person, like a shepherd, maybe. And it's, you know, it's the same way with David, now that I think about it. David also was a shepherd. He was just a shepherd, and I'm not sure, but I'd be willing to bet that David was very faithful with his shepherding. He didn't mind being a shepherd because he gave the Lord the most glory he could out of it. Not only that, but it was probably something that it was probably the only thing that he had at the time that he knew he could do. So he did it to the best of his ability for the Lord. And and that's what we have to do. Whatever we have to do to the best of our ability to the Lord. However, as we see with both David, now I really think about it, David and Joseph were just common men. They were just doing common things. The Lord really exalted them. David became a king and had his own city and had many wives and a great army. And Joseph, he was one of the youngest of his brothers, and he was just a shepherd, but he became second in power in Egypt. And the Lord used him to not only preserve Egypt's food, because the Lord knew a famine was coming, but he also used Joseph to preserve his family as well, because they needed food. So when we follow the Lord's will for our lives and we don't harden our heart to what he wants for us, our lives, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed by the Lord.
And now we'll close with this scripture, Israel, Matthew 6:19-20. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal."
Shalom, Israel.
Shalom, Israel.